Or it can be just given as a gift of grace to understand all the scriptures. But there's a certain degree to which a teacher of the word needs to study to show themselves approved. Okay? And they have to know the scriptures inside and out. The scriptures, a teacher of God's word has to know the scriptures. And many times people teach things from the scriptures who are not worthy to be teachers because they have not the gifts of God. And they also have not done their proper diligence as far as becoming a real student of God's word. Whereby, you know, it's like, well, on one hand, it says, don't curse those that persecute you. On the other hand, here's people doing bad things whom God says, curse them. Not that we should curse them, but he's cursing them by saying, let them be cursed. So, that I mean, and I guess my point of that is, it's not that, you know, it could be in someone's mind a contradiction there. I mean, because one says don't curse, and the other says curse. And the idea I want to get across to you is that there are times and contexts in which we bless our enemies. The other contexts in which we do not offer blessing to our enemies. Meaning, it's one thing if, let's say, you know, like the Roman government was coming down on them for being Christians, but it's another thing when you have someone who says, I'm your brother, and I want to teach you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, that is a big difference. The one is coming from the outside, and it is persecuting, and he's saying, bless them, like Jesus did. When the Romans, he said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. I'll testify also that many false prophets don't know what they're doing. As the prophet Ezekiel said, if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, have deceived him, and I will punish him too. So, it's not a question of knowledge, though that was the mitigating factor that Christ put in, but it's a question of what is the nature of their deeds. So we have to be careful. We don't want to bless, you know, there's some kinds of wickedness which we do not bless. And I don't curse them. God himself has cursed them. He's cursed all our enemies. But sometimes we want to bless our enemies. Other times, just let them be accursed. Don't try to, don't be like, well, God forgive them. Or let's just put up with them. Remember in the end of Romans, he had said, if any man does not teach the right doctrine, you mark that person. You mark them. What's the exact word? I always remember this because I know it's the last chapter. Yeah, he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which I have learned, and avoid them. They serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and the good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. That's the thing, is there are simple people who are deceived by fork-tongued, smooth-tongued preachers. So he's saying, he marvels. It's a wonder to me that you would so quickly be removed, transferred from him that called you to the grace of Christ to some other gospel. And he said, which is not another. Because here's the thing. It's not another. He's saying they want to pervert the gospel of Christ. See, that's the thing. It'd be nice if they're like, well, this is our God. Like, Islam is almost like another gospel because it's a totally different system of beliefs. You know what I mean? It is truly another gospel. Meaning they have a form of good news about their God. They don't call it the gospel, but you know what I'm saying? They would call it, their message and so on. Whatever their message is, particularly. They would, that is a totally different system of beliefs. But what we have here, and what would I call it? I would call it the current state of Christianity is a this prevalence of perverse gospel. That's not according to what the apostles taught, or the doctrine, which is the doctrine that I teach, but it's according to these other doctrines. So, though we, and it's funny, he says in verse 8, though we preach, because some people will say, this is the gospel Paul preached, believe this. I mean, they actually use Paul against Paul. I mean, against the true intent he had, they will preach a different gospel. Or an angel from heaven. Oh, because you never know. All kinds of things can be preached, but Paul knew the truth of what he had received. He received it from Christ. And he wasn't about to... Nothing is going to change that. See? So it's like, though no matter what goes against this word that is already established by the apostles and prophets of our Lord, that God has gathered together in this book we call the Bible, which I'm teaching you, anything outside of that needs to be rejected. Preach a gospel. In other words, any other is actually not in the original text. But it's if they preach a gospel unto you, then, or other than, that's where the other would be, then that ye have received, let him be accursed. Repeats it twice. So what are the natures of these gospels? Well, let's read on and find out. And I don't know, well, let's see. For now I do I persuade, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For let's just stop there. We can leave it right there for a moment. So he's saying, this is an interesting thing. Do I now persuade men or God? And the word persuade, I like to point this out, is pitho, which is the same word as faith. And I'm causing people to have faith. Am I trying to convince man or God? Man. That's the rhetorical answer. I'm trying to persuade men. That's the thing. If you change and pervert the gospel, really, and you're not persuading man, you're trying to persuade God to be different because you're perverting his word.